Welcome to the Dave the Mystic Show. This is episode number 527 with astrologer Madeline Gerwick and feng shui expert Margaret Peg Donahue with their book, Money is an Energy Game. This is June 14th, 2021 from Littleton, Colorado. If you signed up with Blog Talk Radio, you can see and join in the chat. Please consider signing up for show announcements through my website at www.davethemystic.com. One other side note, one of our frequent guests on here, the tremendous medium, frequently brings through the stars, Shirley B., is in a health crisis, and I'd appreciate any thoughts or prayers sent towards her for her speedy recovery. So thank you for that. Our guests tonight are Margaret Peg Donahue and Madeline Gerwick. Peg Donahue is a feng shui consultant, personal empowerment coach, teacher, speaker, and author. She has an MBA from Boston University and a BA from Georgetown, along with three professional feng shui and several coaching, intuitive development, and healthy building certifications. In 2015, she received Southern New Hampshire University's 2015 Excellence in Teaching Award as an adjunct instructor. After a successful database marketing career, she founded Feng Shui Connections in 2001 out of a strong desire to help people succeed and easily achieve their life desires and dreams. She contributed to Success Manifesto with Brian Tracy in 2016 and co-authored Dorm Room Feng Shui in 2005. Peg lives in New Hampshire's Mount Washington Valley. She enjoys helping people to live and work in healthy and vibrant spaces and to master the art of thriving with ease and joy. You can learn more about Peg at www.fengshuiconnections.com. Today, she's here to share the secrets from the award-winning book she co-authored with internationally renowned business astrologer Madeline Gerwick, Money is an Energy Game. In it, there are 102 energy-altering strategies and money attraction tools to jumpstart your prosperity and transform your relationship with money. Madeline Gerwick is an internationally recognized business, economic, and personal astrologer, speaker, and author. She has a BA degree with honors in economics, and she's listed in several Who's Who books, including Who's Who in the World. She annually writes The Good Timing Guide, Time Codes for Success, and The Good Timing Newsletter, which accompanies it. She also co-authored The Complete Idiot's Guide to Astrology, available from Penguin Group, and she recently co-authored Money is an Energy Game. She's a contributing author to the business anthology Einstein's Business, Engaging Soul, Imagination, and Excellence in the Workplace, which includes chapters from Oprah, Steve Jobs, Stephen Covey, Robert Kiyosaki, Scott Peck, Tom Peters, Thomas More, Mark Victor Hansen, and many more. Madeline began teaching prosperity principles in 2002 with the introduction of the course, 8 Keys to the Ultimately Prosperous Business. She hosted her own national weekly radio show for over 5 years on Cosmic Connections with Madeline as part of the Dr. Pat Show. She's now heard the first Friday of each month on www.renseradio.com. Her combined talents in business, astrology, economics, and prosperity training provide you with a new view of the economy and ways to prosper with the universe. Her company, Polaris Business Guides, is a metaphysical consulting and training firm which guides organizations and individuals to prosper by working in harmony with the universe. You can learn more about Madeline at www.polarisbusinessguides.com. Today, she's here to share the secrets from the award-winning book she co-authored with feng shui expert Margaret Peg Donahue, Money is an Energy Game. There are 102 energy-altering strategies and money attraction tools to jumpstart your prosperity and transform your relationship with money. Welcome, Peg and Madeline. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's really a pleasure to be here.
Well, you two have very interesting backgrounds. How did you come to partner and write this book? What led you to do that?
Well, Peg and I were both taking prosperity training from the same person, and so we got connected that way. And I was looking for a feng shui consultant for my business at that time, and so Peg happened to be the person who got that job. And so we then started teaching 8 Keys to the Ultimately Prosperous Business, and then we developed 2 more additional programs, and then we decided we wanted to get it out in a bigger way, so we decided to make it into a book, and that is what you have in your hand.
And that book was a long collaborative effort. It took us over 7 years to put it together. We were each running our own businesses at the time, and the world was changing rapidly. Businesses kept changing and evolving, and the whole methodology of this was evolving. So we put it together over a 7-year period. And finally we said, you know, we just have to get this material out to people. We have to get this information out. It's time. It's ready. And people are ready for it.
Good. Well, how does money present itself in most people's minds? I'm sure you've talked to a lot of people, worked with a lot. It seems like there are a lot of different views of money, and a lot of them aren't particularly helpful to a person who wants to get ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think a lot of people are conflicted about money and conflicted about money, what money can do for them. They feel that they want more of it. What they really want is the result or the essence of what money can provide for them or what money can deliver for them. Sometimes people with a lot of money, they are in fear of losing it. They want to hang on to it versus understanding that money is just energy. Keep it in circulation. And the more that you give and the more that you, you know, circulate it, the more that comes back to you over time.
Well, and money has a lot of different beliefs associated with it. Some of them are things like money is not spiritual. You see, you can't be spiritual if you have money, or if the rich have it, then perhaps the only people who really have it are the filthy rich, you see, that somehow money is dirty. And so we're presenting a different perspective about money. We're saying that everything that you see around you, everything that you can touch, hear, see, etc., is made of energy, including money. And money has, it's actually attracted to high energy. So when you're in high energy, or if you just fell in love, perhaps you may have noticed that your energy is higher, and so you may be more prosperous. You have more money coming to you when you're in that high energy of love. And so when you're in positive high energy, it's a lot easier to attract money to you. And we basically cover over 100 tips to give you different tools and techniques that will allow you to bring a lot more money to you. And it's not about spending money to make money. It's about understanding how all the different facets of energy are impacting what's in your bank account.
Mm-hmm. Well, I work with a lot of people on subconscious core beliefs, and certainly a lot of those are money beliefs that they've grown up with. Let's talk about some of the old faulty truisms that people have about money. One of them is rich people aren't happy. That's a common one.
It sure is. And also, money doesn't grow on trees. I remember hearing that when I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. And how about we can't afford it?
Oh, that's a big one. I grew up in a family of 9 kids. So we heard that one a lot. We can't afford it. You have to work hard to get money. That's another one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's too much money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And really, all of those things are about the amount of energy it takes to create whatever it is you're wanting to have. And so when you start thinking about money in terms of energy, money is basically neutral in the sense that it's not making the choices of what you do with it. It's just there to provide you with options. Kind of like a car can take you from point A to point B, but it could also be used to harm somebody. And those same things occur with money. And people are aware of the possible ways that others can harm them using money. And so there's a lot of negativity associated with having it, as though somehow having money will change your intention or change your character to becoming negative in some way or evil.
Well, there's a saying of money doesn't bring happiness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Implying that if you have money, you're not going to be happy, which is, is not true.
Not true.
Right.
Not true, yeah.
Well, if you're not happy with money, you're really going to be unhappy without it.
Yeah, right. That's a great way to think for it.
Yeah, let's try
it,
the alternative here. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Well, I do run
right.
into people with the consciousness, and I don't know if it's just the phases of the moon or the astrology or whatever, but people who end up, especially in their later years, that they've actually amassed a sizable retirement account. It might be $500,000, it might be $1 million, and they still live very frugally because they're living in fear of using that money to do nice things.
Sure. Sure. And I think in 2008, when the market, took a hit, that was very hard for people who were in retirement or about to retire, because all of a sudden they saw, half of their accumulated wealth, go away. And,
mm-hmm.
and so it's like, this could happen again. And so, yeah, they are, very frugal with it, or very aware that, hey, I have it now, but it could go away very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that one of the challenges that you see is that it doesn't seem to matter which side of the coin people are on. Whether they have it or they don't have it, there's always fear around money. But whatever the fear is, you see, that's what you're attracting more of. And so if you don't have money and you're in fear of not having money, then it's hard to get it. But if you have money and you're in fear of losing it, then that's a lot more likely to happen, because it's always the same thing. You're attracting whatever you're focused on.
Right.
When you're in fear of losing it, then that's the predominant energy, you see. So
think of it. Yeah, go ahead, Madeline.
Well, I was going to say, it doesn't matter which side of the coin you're on. Most people, whether they have it or don't have it, are in fear around money. And we would like to see people let go of that. And one of the things that Peg did for the book was to create a emotional freedom and healing release for prosperity and money, which is free with the book. And it helps to release all types of blockages related to money and prosperity and success, so that you have let go of it out of your body, let go of the fear out of your body, so that you can more easily attract what you're really wanting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the Kindle version of the book, it's in chapter 2, and you just have to click on the link, and it will take you directly to the recording. It runs for about 45 minutes. And we encourage you to do it as many times as is appropriate for you. You'll know when you don't need to do it anymore, when the
mm-hmm.
thoughts and feelings are gone. And if you have the paper copy, you just type it into your browser. And it'll take you right to the page where the recording is.
Now, besides working with money and hopefully becoming more prosperous, does the book offer enough insights that, say you have a 25-year-old and you say, gosh, you got 40 years to put together a really nice retirement if you start working on it. Is there enough information in the book that people would have a good idea of how to build a realistic, rational retirement account, or would they still want to, find some type of professional who can give them that advice?
Well, personally, I would recommend that they use this book in conjunction with a professional who could give them that advice.
Okay.
What the book will do will help them to understand or recognize their beliefs about money. So first would be to let go of any beliefs that are hindering their ability to attract money and to cultivate wealth for themselves. To mm-hmm. understand the stories that they grew up with about money, and then to release the hold on anything that's negative related around money. And then we do have a chapter in here on wealth building and techniques for wealth building, but I would recommend also it really is worthwhile to work with a professional. Now, my daughter is a millennial, and recently she was telling me that she took a course for women investing, you know, in the market and learning how to do that. And I was so proud of her. And she's really doing phenomenal with it. And not only that, is she's going to grad school in the fall. She has saved all the money to go to grad school. And so she's not worried about, you know, pulling back from the workforce and going. And she's going abroad to go to grad school. So she said, no, I know I'll be fine. And I'm going to get some loans. But even if I don't get loans, I have enough. Which is awesome, because she has cultivated her ability to attract and have money, and she lives a good life. You know, she's young,
mm-hmm.
and she is prudent, and I would say frugal with her money, but in a good way. But you know, she'll buy the best for herself and others. She's very generous. You know, particularly during the past year, she and a lot of their friends, they donated to causes and organizations that meant a lot to them. For people mm-hmm. who were really in a jam, because they knew that they were in
yeah.
good situations, and it was time to give back to others. So that's another pattern there, is being very generous with what you have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find a lot of people are live and let live on planning. Basically, there is no plan, and you know, it's amazing to say, okay, if you have no plan today, 3 years from now we can have the same conversation and you'll still be in the same place.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you, when I went to... Oh, go ahead, Madeline.
Well, I was just going to say that to a certain extent, the book is giving people tools so that they can feel confident that they can create money at every possible situation. So... we're getting people to refocus their thoughts so that they shift over to letting the universe support them and trusting the universe to assist them with creating whatever it is that they want. So if you have that kind of mindset, you would still like to plan. You would still like to have a goal that you're working towards and that sort of thing. But it's easier. You see, it's easier to trust that the universe is going to support you in achieving it when you have these kind of tools to use. And you know that it's your energy
mm-hmm.
and the energy of your environment and your timing and so forth. Your words that you're choosing, whether you're getting sleep or not, whether you're eating good food for yourself, et cetera, and getting some exercise and so forth. When you are aware of all the different impacts on your energy and how it impacts your money, then it's easy for you to feel confident that you know how to create money in any circumstance and trust that the universe will help provide it to you.
And mm-hmm. in the book, we talk a bit about stories, the stories you tell. So we really recommend that you pay attention to the stories that you tell. And we recommend that you end them with the way that you would like them to unfold, even if it's not happening now.
Right, because whatever mm-hmm. you're focusing on, whatever story you're telling, you know, usually it's something, oh, look what terrible thing happened to me yesterday.
Yeah, so pull out of those conversations. I'll pull out of agreeing with, you know, family members or friends or whatever, the woe is me type of story, you know, adding to it. That's very common in our society. Somebody will say something, and then somebody else will come in, oh, yeah, that happened to me. And then before you know it, there's 3, 4, 5 people, you know, all agreeing and building on it. And so that is what I would call a spiral down. So pull out from that.
Yes, because the universe hears you saying, send me more of these experiences. So whatever story you're telling, yeah, that's it.
Bring it on. Bring it
the
on.
The universe thinks you want more of that.
Right. Whatever you're talking about, you're giving more power to. So if we just think about that, empower things the way you want them to unfold and make it a good one, make it a good ending.
Mm-hmm. Well, another thing that I see, and maybe you can talk about it, so you have a family and a number of the people are not independent or not emancipating, and you have one bedrock person who makes pretty good money, but they're the one that everybody goes to tap into to cover them. And, the person thinks they're doing something noble. I look at it as you're an enabler for bad patterns of behavior. And what do you think is going to happen if you keep doing this? It's going to drain you. You end up with nothing at the end. And they certainly aren't going to bail you out in your old age.
Well, that's been me and Dave and my family. I grew up in a family of 9 kids. And so I always say our families are like a microcosm of the world. And what I realized years ago when I would lend money to my brothers and sisters, that our values were different. that, you know, they would promise with all their heart, yeah, I'm going to pay it back first thing. And so, you know, I somehow, and we all grew up in the same family, but somehow I grew up with, you know, you have a bill, you pay it down. You know, you pay your bills off before you go and do other things. Well, I had some siblings that would go off and do those other things and never have the money to somehow pay their debts. And so that was a learning lesson for me to, eventually I had to say no or send, you know, help them, guide them along other avenues, but not to always be the handout, because our values were different and it was enabling them and they were not changing. And we can't change other people. We can change ourselves, and we can change our perspective about situations, but we cannot change other people. It's up to each individual.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's really why we wrote the book, so that if somebody's in a position like that, they can start suggesting those kind of tools to somebody to use so that they can learn how to fish for themselves. You see, it's really not helpful to bail somebody out over and over, because what they really need to learn is how to fish. And once they know how to fish, they'll never be poor ever again, because they'll know how to get that fish.
Right? That's exactly right. Yeah.
And that's what the book does. It provides the tools so that the person can learn how to fish for themselves.
So it's a resource to help people help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to take responsibility, to take accountability, and people can cultivate prosperity and be prosperous in whatever area of life they're in. So it's not about necessarily being rich, but it's about having the resources that you really want to live the type of life that you'd love to have.
Yeah, and our definition of prosperity includes things like having very good friendships and relationships with your family members, having work that you love to do, having a place that you love to live in, and so forth, so that your resources are supportive of you. And your the work that you're doing on a regular basis makes you feel good, because if you don't feel good on a regular basis, money is going to run away from you.
Right, and the book is all about energy, the energy of money. So one section of the book is what we call Take an Energy Inventory for Prosperity. So you can do this over a six-week period, and it's just about noticing your patterns in various stages of your day and your life. It's monitoring your sleep for a week. You know, it's about getting enough sleep. But it's not about judging yourself if you're not getting enough sleep, but it's just about noticing, you know, what you're doing and how you're feeling as a result. It's about eating healthy food. So just you just note what you are eating and how you're feeling. Do you feel energized? Do you feel sluggish? You know, what's happening there? You know, what type of exercise or movement do you get on a daily basis? It's about, what I would say, moving the chi in your body, the energy in your body, to keep it alive and keep it vibrant. It's also about your thoughts. You know, thoughts create things, and we're always creating to our last thought. And so noticing what's there, noticing that self-chatter, and this is where your thoughts about money, your beliefs about money might come up. Just notice what's floating around in your head there. Your feelings are another thing. Yeah, go ahead, Madeline.
Oh, I was going to just say, and also what type of mental information you're taking in, either from TV or movies or the internet or newspapers, and what kind of conversations you're having with other people and how they make you feel. Because when you have empowering conversations with other people, you end up feeling better, and money is more apt to come to you. And when you have conversations that leave you feeling down, or you take in information that leaves you feeling down, then money is more apt to run away from you. And there are a lot of different ways that money can run away from you. So it's not just, oh, you have a job and you get a certain amount of money each week. You may miss out on discounts, or you may miss out on a promotion, or you may have breakdowns of products or services in your home or office where you have to replace something that you weren't planning to. And so there are a lot of different ways that money can run away from you without you necessarily noticing, but it's all related to energy, and it's your energy that's associated with it.
Right. And on the other hand, what I recommend is notice the synchronicity in your life. I love synchronicity. I love it so much that many, many years ago I started a synchronicity journal just because it was so abundant in my life. And it was like, oh, my gosh, you know, you think something and it shows up and it's here. So really notice the synchronicity and how things happen. And it's just so much fun to see how different things show up. And also to hold loosely the essence of what you want, because what you are intending or what you are asking for, it may show up differently than what you think, you know, or how you think it should show up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you one of my favorite synchronicity stories for me was I knew as a fifth grader I wanted to become an electrical engineer, and I really worked towards that, and ultimately I got my bachelor's and master's degree in electrical engineering, and I've had a long career as an aerospace engineer. But in high school, I had several very good teachers, and my chemistry teacher, my senior year, he had actually been in medical school. He was in his internship, and he decided, you know, I don't want to see sick people the rest of my life, and he became a high school teacher. And,
So
tremendously qualified, and I really absorbed what he taught in that class like a sponge. And, you know, as part of engineering, you have to take two 5-hour chemistry courses. And so I went out to Wichita State, which was the university there in Wichita, and I went to the chemistry department, and this was during the summer term, and I walked into the department chair's office and talked to the secretary, and I said, you know, I just graduated as a senior. I had a great high school chemistry teacher, and I have to take chemistry for my engineering degree, and I'd like to see if somehow I could get credit for my high school chemistry course so I could take the second chemistry course. Well, this guy sticks his head out his door, and he says, well, Dave, I'm the department chair here. Tell you what, let me give you a final exam for the Chem 1 class here. You can just sit here and take it. And I said, sure. And he said, if you get 70% or more, I'll give you 5 hours credit. And so I sat there and took his final exam, and I got like a 75 on it. And he said, good enough. I'll give you 5 hours credit. You can sign up for Chem 2 here in summer school. And, oh, by the way, the fee is $5. I got 5 hours of college credit for $5.
That is fabulous. That is awesome. And you took the initiative and made it happen for yourself. Awesome.
Absolutely. I was open to all possibilities. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And that's what we're encouraging people to do, is to be open to all possibilities and to be delighted when things start showing up, because that's, you know, how the energy builds up and accumulates, and it, you know, what I would call snowballs. It grows, and it gets better and better and better. So be delighted with how these various situations are shaping up and how they show up, how the results come into your life. And also to be happy for other people, genuinely happy for other people, and applaud them for their successes, and express gratitude for that, because that is catchy as well. It really, really is. So
yes, because when you're happy for someone else, you see, you're telling the universe to send you experiences for which you will be happy about.
Right.
And so, so it snowballs into you getting successes back, too.
It sure does. If you're envious of other people, you're jealous of other people or their successes, or, hey, I should have had that, not them, then you are pushing prosperity and pushing money and pushing goodness and success away from yourself. And it takes a while to get it back. So once you have that momentum going, you want to keep working it. And you keep working it by, in my own life, in my own experience, expressing gratitude in advance of something happening, expressing gratitude every day, you know, for the blessings that are in your life, helping other people, helping others to be successful, you know, sharing. And, yes, lots and lots of ways that all of these blessings really come back to us and show up and build in our lives.
Well, I suppose one of the ways that people could test themselves on this is go see a professional basketball team or even high school or college, and not only cheer your own team when they make a good play, but you cheer the other team when they make a good play.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely, just for the skill that they are showing. And absolutely. Yep. Yeah,
and that energy's just got to rub off on your team.
Well, it does. It does. Be happy for the excellence of others, of everyone all around you, because that comes back. And so this is genuinely happy, not you know, just out there and doing a charade, but really cultivating it within yourself. And I have the saying that the work is always on ourself. The work is always on oneself. And so when something happens in your life and it's negative or downer or, oh my gosh, why did that happen, just look inside, you know, look at that little, you know, bump or what it hit on inside, and take a look. Is it a belief? Is it a habit? Is it something that needs an adjustment or a change? The work is always on ourselves, but other people are often showing us the way. And I think our families are our best teachers. The world, you know, it's a microcosm of the world, our families, and they can be our best teachers.
Well, they frequently mirror back to you, and sometimes you want to pretend that what they're mirroring back to you isn't you.
That's right. Now, one of the things I do is feng shui. And so talking about the mirror is the premise of feng shui is that your space is a mirror of your inner self. So if you don't want to look at your inner self, just look at your space. And, you know, take a look at the condition of it. Is it in great shape? Does it feel happy and energized? Or is it cluttered? Is it dirty? Are things, you know, broken down? Is the chi rising? Or is the chi, and chi is energy, is it stuck? Or does it feel, you know, slow or sluggish? So if you don't want to do the work on yourself, just do the work on your space. And eventually, you will do the work on yourself. So I refer to it as an inner and outer dance. Either you start on the inside, and eventually you work on the outside, or you can start on the outside, but eventually it's going to come inside. And it's really fascinating, and it's really fun.
And occasionally what happens when you have those bumps is that you have not made a particular change that you were supposed to make or should probably wanted to make but didn't make out of fear or anxiety related to something. And so the universe will then come along and make the change for you and do its best to put you into a position where you would be better off. But if you lose a job, for example, that may seem like a terrible situation. But in certain cases, certain cycles, actually the universe is just trying to move you into a better situation. And so that's often what happens in those particular types of cycles, is that you move into a much better situation, but the initial shock feels negative. And so if you can train yourself to look at what's the universe trying to tell me?
Right.
Does it want me to be someplace else?
Right.
Is there someplace else it needs me to be? Or that,
well,
I would be more successful or happy? Then you're getting a broader perspective about what's happening in your life instead of limiting it to, oh, something terrible has happened to me again.
Right. One of my teachers early on in my feng shui and metaphysical journey education said, if you don't hear the whispers, if you don't pay attention to the whispers, you have to listen to the screams. And that is exactly what Madeline just described.
Yeah.
If you don't pay attention to those little cues that are coming all along the way, then you might, simply, land on your back and not be able to get up. So pay attention to those little things every day. And it's much easier to change something when it's small versus when it grows. Just like in your house, it's much easier to fix a drip than it is to fix a break in a pipe.
Right.
And
oh, yeah.
So really, pay attention to how energy is changing or shifting or declining. Pay attention to your own feelings and do the work while it's a small issue before it grows into a big, big block.
I heard a funny story the other day. Somebody was talking about how their father was not a good role model for how to take care of a car because he would wait for the oil pressure light to come on before he added oil. Routinely.
So he was a great model for what not to do.
That didn't really lead to a long-term engine life.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So that's an example of what not to do.
Well, and that's actually one of the things we talk about in the book, is that if you don't take care of something, your wealth is running away from you. And so that guy's car is deteriorating at a rapid rate by not getting oil on a regular basis. And so his wealth is literally running away from him a little bit each day, but he doesn't take care of it. And so there are a number of things like that that are obscure, shall I say, that we actually highlight in the book so that people will understand how these different dots are connected to their bank account. And there's a lot of different pieces to it. And certainly taking care of what you have is one of the ways to build your wealth. And when you don't, you're literally pushing your wealth away from you energetically.
Absolutely. All your possessions require energy, really, to maintain them. It takes work to maintain what we have. So prosperity is not about having a large house or the biggest car or anything. It's having what you want, but also understanding that it's give and take. We have a responsibility to care for what we have, and then in return, the universe will provide for us.
But let's,
a dance
let's talk
back
the flip. Yeah, let's talk the flip mindset. You know, something we've seen in the past year or two, and it's very disturbing to me, are a number of groups out there that really play the victim card. You know, bad things happen to me, bad things happen to our group, our ethnicity or whatever, or they've happened in the past, and there's just no way we can get past that unless X and Y and Z. And I find it very disturbing that a lot of people buy into the self-victimization and somebody's got to come bail me out rather than, you know, okay, how are you going to show the initiative to pull yourself up by your bootstraps? I mean, we've been doing that for thousands of years. And,
right.
You know, why are you the exception?
Right.
Right. And so there really is a tremendous problem with what you're describing. And it really is not empowering to any group. It doesn't matter what color they are, to suggest that they are all victims. And, of course, if you look at any group, there are always people who are successful, highly successful in that group, and there are always people who are not successful in that group. So it's not about color or anything like that. It's about the mindset of why they are continuing to see themselves as a victim. And when somebody sees themselves as a victim, and I have a daughter who got brain damaged when she was 16. And the hardest thing for me was to not feel sorry for her. And mm-hmm. But I had to learn to do it because otherwise she felt sorry for herself, you see. And I couldn't have her doing that because she couldn't make progress if she felt sorry for herself. So
yeah.
it doesn't matter what the situation is, whether it's a handicap or a race issue or anything, any reason why, you know, you are in a down position. The only thing that matters is your mindset about how you are going to focus your energy, your thoughts, your emotions, your actions, and so forth, and start telling stories that are more positive than negative.
That's exactly right. So take it back to yourself, that the work is always on oneself. Notice what's happening around you. Connect the dots, but we don't have to buy into that, and we don't have to energize it. We can observe it without it having, without it throwing our own energy off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. And when we are thrown off by situations like that, you see, we're pulled into their negative mindset.
Right, right. And I also have a sister who has brain injury, acquired brain injury, and I have had to pull back from her. I was, you know, helping her tremendously for about an 18-month period, but then I also realized that, you know, she has to do the work herself, and she's not at a point now where she is ready to do the work on herself. So she's in a safe environment, and I've had to just settle with myself that that's good enough for right now. I can't change her. She has to change herself. And there's probably other things going on that I may not understand or know about, but it's not up to me to try to change her. I just, you know, have to be at peace with that. And it's,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's okay.
Well, good. Well, one of the things that you have in the book is something that you call personal contracts. Talk about that, because I think that's very applicable right now to this part of our discussion.
Well, one of the things that is very important in the very beginning of the book is that we ask people to set their intention, and we give them a sacred prosperity commitment to start with, and we ask them to read it out loud and sign and date it, and to read it every day for at least 30 days. And then Peg has a personal contract that she wrote in the book, and we ask people to please write their own personal contract. And they can use Peg's as an example, but make it their own, you know, make it something that works for them, that is important to them. And that really is setting your intention. And whenever you do that, you see, then the universe provides you with lots of tools, techniques, and help to assist you with your intention. So intention's always the very beginning of making any change. And then in Chapter 2, Peg does the emotional freedom and healing release to release any blockages to your intention. So those are pretty much the first two steps to making any change for your prosperity and money.
Right, and also to notice the language, the words that you're using as you write your contract. And so you might write your contract one way at the beginning, and then as you read the book, you know, come back and change it so that it is incorporating some of the tools and techniques, particularly what we write about conscious language. And using positive words that make a difference, to focus on the end result of what you do want versus what you don't want. I find that many people are trained, really, by society to focus on what we don't want. And I will patiently listen, and then I'll say, okay, now what do you want? What? I just told you what I want. I don't want this and that and that. I said, yes, you told me what you don't want. But what do you want? And then it's like they're taken aback. Oh, I don't know what I want. And that is a very common response that I get very often. I don't know what I want. I say, that's right. So let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with really clarifying and identifying what you really do want, because it's not going to come to you until you do clarify it and specify it. And that's a real eye-opener for many people, that they've been spending their lives focusing on the nots. It's as simple as don't forget versus remember. My husband will often say, mm-hmm. No, don't forget this, and I'll reply with, I'll remember.
And it's important to realize that the universe does not hear negative words like don't or not. And actually, neither does your brain. It doesn't have a picture for that, right? And so a great example was when early in the 2000s, when we were about to go to war with Iraq, there were millions and millions of people who protested against the war. No war, lots of no war signs all over the place, millions of people.
Yeah.
But what we got was war. But if people had protested for peace, that would have had completely different results.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so focus on what we want. They're opposite ends of the same stick. And it does take consciousness, and it takes training, self-training, and discipline to get into the habit of focusing on what you want. But after a while, it is very easy to express things in terms of what you really want in a positive way.
And it helps if you will have a colleague, a friend, or a family member who will listen to you and point out when you're focused on the wrong things and get you back on track. Because we don't hear ourselves most of the time. And so it's very, very helpful if you will have an agreement with somebody else and you will listen to each other carefully and keep each other on track.
or when you're focused on really expressing things in terms of what you don't want versus what you do want. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think another important one is how do you handle windfall? I know so many people say, oh, my goodness, you know, I got $800 I didn't expect. The next thing I had was a $750 car repair. And I think a lot of people don't have a good plan for what they're going to do with the windfall in terms of, you know, saving some of it, taking care of some obligations with some of it, things like that. And so the universe says, well, if you don't know what to do with it, I'll pick.
Right. And, well, and also, go ahead, Madeline.
I was going to say the reason that person had a car repair for almost the same amount of money is because they have a money ceiling, and they got more money than they are comfortable with having. And so when that happens, the person will energetically devise a way to get rid of it. happens all the time.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's what I wrote down before, to come back to that point of the money ceiling, and you nailed it. That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's going on there. It's not even necessarily about having a plan. It's about that the person is frightened by having more money than they know what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it happen all the time with people who win lotteries.
Oh, yeah.
Two years later, they're broke.
90% of them. Yeah.
Right.
Right. So
they're not only broke, they're worse off than they were before they won.
Right.
Right. That's exactly right. So if money comes in unexpectedly, you could make an agreement with yourself that you save half of it, and you pay down debt with part of it, and you use some of it for fun. You know, in the book we talk about, you know, with your money, save at least 10%. Put at least 10% into what we call a wealth-building fund. Save, you know, really for your future, and build on that because it compiles, and it grows faster and faster and faster. But you have to start somewhere. So start with 10%. And save that.
Now, I'll tell you a funny story about windfalls. This is in Reader's Digest years ago. So there's a bunch of retired guys, and they just meet on, you know, somebody's front porch, you know, rotates around in their neighborhood in the evening, and they're talking about lotteries and, you know, what would you do if you won $1 million? And one guy says, you know, I think if I won $1 million, it'd probably go into bank, but I'd splurge, and I'd go out and get a gallon of ice cream and eat it by myself. Well, the next night, they gave him a gallon of ice cream and a spoon and said, you just won $1 million.
Oh, that's great.
That was cute.
His joy of winning $1 million was, I'd eat a whole gallon of ice cream on my own.
Yeah, so the simple things. And so it's really the essence of how you want to live your life, and what brings you joy, what brings each of us joy, and expanding our lives. You know, there's all sorts of possibilities out there, and it's not a win-lose game. We can all win at this, because money is energy, and it's endless, really. There's more than enough out there for everybody. There really is.
There's more than enough energy in the entire universe, so you could never run out of it. And since everything starts as a thought, starts as an energy, there's never anything that you cannot create without energy. Everything is at their core made of energy. So there really is an abundant universe. It's just that we have been trained to ignore it. And so if you can spend some time in joy every day, feeling happy, feeling gratitude for the people in your life and the work you're doing and what you're able to do for yourself and others, then it's much, much easier to bring money to you, to bring the blessings that you're wanting. It's just a completely different mindset when you believe that money is not scarce, because it's made of energy and everything. There's so much energy, you could never be without it. You could never run out of energy.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the book, how to get the book, and your book website. What can you do on there, and what are some of the cool things that, if you participate in the website, can happen?
Well, you'll find the book at its own website, www.moneyisanenergygame.com. And you can purchase it as a Kindle version. You can also purchase it as a print version, and we are in the process of putting out tools, tips, and techniques. So we have these out on a Facebook page currently. So you can sign up if you're out on social media. You can sign up for those, and we are putting those out regularly. And on the website, we'll have a collection of stories. I think over time, we will probably do some webinars or programs where, you know, people can just gather and we will practice, you know, tools, tips and techniques and help people with how they are cultivating these skills, how they're shifting their patterns and what obstacles they're coming up against and
when
how
you,
to release those. Go ahead, Madeline.
Oh, when you go to the website, the moneyisanenergygame.com, you can sign up for our newsletter and you'll get the first chapter for free.
Absolutely.
That's a freebie that we give to you when you sign up on our newsletter. And there really are a lot of ways to participate in integrating the tools and tips. At the end of the book, we have a chapter on how you can play the money game, how you can win at the money game. And it gives you a lot of different options. You can play it by yourself. You can play it with your colleagues at work. You can play it with your friends or your family members. And it just gives you a great way to be able to integrate the different types of ideas and tools and techniques that are in the book and just have fun with it. Just play with it and integrate it easily into your daily life.
And when you read the book, we also invite you at the end to submit three ways that you have applied the tools and the results that you got. So send those in on the website, and then there's a special bonus for those people who do that.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, great. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, so it is.
Definitely.
There's a lot packed in here. It is a process. It's not just a book that you read and say, okay, did that, done that. It's a life-changing book. It's a progression here. It's a book that we anticipate readers to go back to over and over again to help refine their practices and habits. And it provides a really great summary, and you can just go to the back of it. If you need a quick tip or a quick tool and say, oh, I know I read this somewhere. Now, what do I have to do? And then, you know, go back, and it will take you back into the book. But you can just go right to the back and be directed where there's more information about that in the book.
Well, one of our people on the chat says, hi, Dave. I hope they put it on Audible but record it and narrate it themselves. They have pleasant voices. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Well, that is one of our intentions. Yes.
Okay. Great. So let's talk about each of you for just a moment. So we'll start with you, Peg. So you have your website, www.fengshuiconnections.com. What services do you provide?
Oh, that's correct. So I provide feng shui consulting, and so this is about the energy of your space, and I do a lot of those remotely these days. I also do space clearings and personal clearings. I do emotional freedom and healing releases, so tapping sessions. I do those over the phone. And I do my space clearings and personal clearings on a long-distance basis. And I also do coaching. I have a dream coaching program, so it's a 12-week program. And I'll also do individual sessions with people or groups of sessions. And it might be just, a monthly session that goes on. I have some clients that I've worked with for a period of years, and after an initial program, we might work together monthly or quarterly or whenever they see a need or a desire to have, you know, just a quick fix or a quick, hey, help me get back on track again. Yeah, so that's what I do.
Okay. Thank you. And Madeline, your website is www.polarisbusinessguides.com. And what services do you provide?
I provide both business and personal astrology consultations to help both businesses and individuals know what their roadmap ahead is and work on any particular issues that they may have. I also provide good timing for lots of business activities, including starting a business, launching websites, new product introductions, signing contracts, and all of those kinds of things that are important in business and even personal lives. And I also write The Good Timing Guide. And that's been, I've been doing that since 1997. And it's just a color-coded way for people to know good days to do important tasks and times to not do important tasks because nothing's going to come of it. So it's always nice to know when the universe has your back energetically. And that's what the Good Timing Guide does. And I also provide the Good Timing newsletter that goes with it or can go with it. So you get more details about what the energies really are.
Okay. Well, thank you both for being on the show. This has been wonderful. I hope listeners take advantage of your book and kind of pull themselves up by their bootstraps and become prosperous. For our listeners, please join us for our show next week with healer and intuitive Rochelle Kemper. She does a lot of cool things with crystal grid energies. And thank you for listening tonight. Have a great week and blessings. Take care.